Good evening, Los Angeles. You are listening to K-Chung Radio's The Talking Show, the only talking show on Wednesday nights at midnight. This is June 10th, going on June 11th. I am Steve Cato, and I am in Austin, Texas, while my co-host...
Nicholas Miller
is in Pasadena.
That's true.
Hello, Nicholas. How are you?
I am fine, all things considered.
Wow, you're working for the competition now. You're working for All Things Considered.
Yeah, yeah. And moonlighting as an LAPD officer. Just kidding. Tasteless joke.
Oh my God.
Those guys.
Yeah.
They're up to no good.
Oh boy. I mean, they have a reputation.
Yeah.
Exactly that reputation.
It certainly feels like one of the things where it's just not even people can't, it's not even worth saying I told you so. There's just been so many instances. Like, do you remember what was the guy's name? Maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, who was a police officer who snapped and started killing police officers and wrote the manifesto about.
Dornan.
I mean, obviously it was easy for the media to portray him as mentally unstable, as if that's enough to delegitimate someone's claims. But certainly there was something to cause him such strife.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is that pictures of him have been resurfacing with this police brutality and racist policing thing, because one of the things in his manifesto that he said drove him sort of to become a cop killer was that as a police officer, he had encountered systematic racism.
Mm-hmm.
And, it seems that any argument that he didn't has been, that was one of the most believable parts of his manifesto,
mm-hmm.
where you were like, I believe that you have encountered that. Nothing in current events would lead you to believe otherwise, despite like some weird knee taking, Pelosi all wearing kente cloth and kneeling. Do you see that picture?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God, it's amazing. It's totally like Marvel Cinematic Universe Wakanda.
Oh God.
Kind of theatrics. It's The Lion King the musical. It was outrageous. It was the kind of thing that at this point when you have two political parties that are both the party of capital, all the differences truly are about sort of like performance and symbology, really. You know, like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who bails out the banks.
Yeah.
or at least not to the banks, you know, and you can decide that you want it to be, phony allyship, or you can decide that it wants to be overtly, virulently racist. The end result, if they are successful, will be just plainly racist in execution as a fact, right? But it won't be. It depends on how much zest for that racism the people in charge seem to want to evince.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about all the mass protest, I have to say, and being in a state that is like pretty much reopened, is that. What did we crash the economy for in the first place? You know, like all these, it's really just egg on their face. They should never have shut the whole thing down if they were serious about any of this. I guess it averted, tragedies in the emergency rooms. I suppose unnecessary deaths there,
yeah.
but, really, we'll just have the unnecessary deaths either in the streets at the hands of the police, or we will have the unnecessary deaths in the hospital after the kettling and collection of everyone in unsafe, in an unsafe way by the police. Have you been doing any protesting? Have you broken your solemn vow of social distancing?
I have not. I have remained true to my social distancing, although ambivalently.
Yeah. Well, it sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I saw an LA Times statistic that if you're a black person in Los Angeles County, there's somewhere around 1 in 1,000 chance that you'll be, the victim of racial police violence.
Uh-huh.
So in that case, I mean, the chances of getting COVID-19 are far lower than that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so what side's your bread buttered on? You know what I mean? Like, you might as well aim for the bleachers and try and make your life at least that much safer.
Right.
At the risk of something that's less dangerous.
What does Biden's slogan of back to normal mean for some people?
Exactly. Yeah. It means getting shot in the leg.
Or the arm. He said extremity.
Yeah,
right?
Or the arm. Yep. I heard an interesting, speaking of getting shot somewhere, non-lethal, but I think it was Santa Clara on Democracy Now! This morning. The police in, I think, Santa Clara, could be somewhere else, shot with a rubber bullet the person who did the sensitivity training for the police department in the groin.
Yikes.
Right? Like, just as if to say, like, no, we don't want to be retrained to do this any better. Like, any claim towards incrementalism is just, or that incrementalism would work in this case is just answered directly by that choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the police have decided that they also take a dim view of incrementalism. The reforms won't work. They just shot the person who was charged with reforming them in the groin.
Right.
Will they heed his message? Will they come to meet us in the center?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally amazing. We went to a swimming pool the other day.
This is nothing in protest?
Yeah, no. Nothing at all to do with protest at all. Just that, like, you can now go to Barton Springs.
How was that?
It was a little freaky. They control your access to it. And you're just in a big... I mean, it was very not crowded. It was pretty nice, actually, to not have tons of people. But the amazing part... you've been to Barton Springs, have you?
I have, yeah. I remember it's like it's too... You know, two fairly steep hills that in between them is a kind of enormous trough of fresh water.
Yeah.
River water.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a acre long sort of rectangle with a natural bottom, sort of encased in sort of
natural bottoms. Quite a term.
That's what they call them. But no, it has, like, you know, seaweed and stuff, or I guess freshwater seaweed, plants of some kind down there. And it's perfectly clean, fresh water, that comes out of a spring, and you swim in that. And then did you note when you were there that on the other side, since it's running water, it's running in one direction. And when it runs over the end, it continues on in a stream out towards the rest of the Colorado River, which is called a lake in Austin, which, you know, divides Austin between north and south portions. And did you notice that there's people who hang out in the sort of free side of Barton Springs?
The other side, yeah.
Yeah. So just on the other side of this weir or dam or whatever that separates Barton Springs from not Barton Springs, there's sort of like a Hesher version of Barton Springs. And that was just like, that was full spring break.
I see.
There was extremely loud reggae. There was like just tons of people milling around, you know, unclothed people just milling around over there,
coughing on each other.
It was like Coachella. it was nuts. And that felt crazy. And you would swim to one end of the pool and you'd get closer to it and like you'd feel more anxious. Then you'd swim back to the other end and it would be like, you know, you and a heron. Because they weren't letting many people in. You had to make reservations. It felt nuts. It felt really crazy. But then check this out. So Meredith, my spouse, is here doing a residency. And we're almost, like next week, actually, we will be driving back to Los Angeles. We're done here. And the culmination of the residency was to be an exhibition. And the exhibition is at the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center. And, you know, when all this COVID-19 stuff started going on, the question was, you know, how and when and if there would be an exhibition. Because obviously there could be no... at least initially, that the Wildflower Center was just closed. And then it was decided that the Wildflower Center would host Meredith's show. And the show would be... it's in a building, like an old coach house. But for the moment, the interior spaces of the Wildflower Center were closed to the public. For social distancing reasons, and people were supposed to walk through the gardens in sort of a specific direction. You know, they were not supposed to go back and forward. So that way, you know, they would let a certain number of people in at certain times, and they would only be allowed to go in certain directions through the thing. But they would be outside and presumably far from others, and it would be, you know, safe social distancing wise. And so Meredith's exhibition did open. You could look at it through a window. And there was a small little celebration we had where like a very small number of people got together and stood far away from each other and looked through the window.
Were they masked?
Were admitted. Yeah. And were admitted into the little building, sort of, you know, one or two at a time. I mean, there was no need to really police it because there was not... many, you know, there were maybe like 15 people there total, you know, in a large garden with this room. And we, you know, Meredith and I installed the show and photographed the show. And then today, this morning, yesterday we went to Barton Springs. We were told that one of the electricians who was doing work on the gallery building while we were installing has come down with COVID-19.
Oh my God.
And so, you know, we were just around people and we were, I mean, this is close to 2 weeks ago that he would have been, working on that and, you know, while we were installing. So I think there's a good chance that if we were to develop symptoms, you know, we would have already. It's supposed to take 2 weeks, right? So we're closing in on that landmark. We're probably doing okay. However, if we were non-symptomatic carriers, we just went to the pool.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And like, you know, and so we've maybe been like a little reckless, but then like just multiply our individual foibles by every single person, you know, you encounter at Central Market and by every single person, you know, at Barton Springs. And I'm just like, oh God. And now I feel terrible. From a moral standpoint, I've got moral COVID.
20.
Yeah. And then also, you know, we went to go get tested to see if, we too had, cause you know, he was a workman and he was sort of like half wearing a mask, you know, sometimes cause, and then he was also like working with another guy and they were doing electrical stuff. Right. So they're like both on their hands and knees, you know, messing with a tiny thing. Right. So there's no way they can effectively distance from each other while working. And we were in an enclosed space with them while they were, you know, talking and doing stuff. And we, you know, we weren't like up close with those guys, but we weren't like a million miles away either. So we went and got tested today. Have you gotten tested?
No.
Well, there's retesting in Austin now, and what they it's sort of a long plastic swab.
They shove up your nose, right?
Yeah, and boy, do they put it up there.
Ooh.
And so you pull up, you roll down your car window, and like someone in a hazmat suit jams this fucking thing up your nose.
What a job that is.
I thought about this too. And also knowing when to stop.
Yeah. Don't stop until you hit their brain.
I mean, I felt insane. It felt crazy. It didn't feel terrible. It felt more like being tickled in a way that you absolutely cannot fight back from.
Yeah.
But Meredith hated it. She gave the experience very bad reviews.
Well, it's like, what is it? Which one is it? Is it the male chlamydia test? Have you had that one?
I've never had that one. No. Okay. What's that one like?
Similar with your urethra.
Ah!
Yeah, it's not a fun experience. I remember
you've had this.
Yeah, and what did the doctor said? This will be uncomfortable.
Wow. And this is just like your general practitioner, like your normal doctor that administers a test.
Yeah, and just a run of the mill, like, you know, starting a new relationship, have had some sexual encounters, might as well make sure you're clean kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not like I've got bumps. You know, I was like, okay, well, they should find another way to do that, because this will probably keep people from getting tested for chlamydia.
Yeah. Right? And presumably there's like active chlamydia and whatever it is that you pass along to people. There'd be like presumably even like kind of a fun way to get a hold of a sample.
Yeah. A fun way. Yeah, there's nothing fun about that. I mean, but it's shrouded in shame, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, like, I think that's
is probably the COVID part thing of it, shrouded right? in shame? Like, do they make you feel a little guilty about being there?
No. No, it's a true parade of humanity, which is interesting. There were several different kinds of cars in line. It's like going to a drive-through at a restaurant.
Okay.
They
should start offering them at McDonald's and In-N-Out.
You know, the promise was that they would be offering them in Walmart parking lots.
Okay.
That's, you know, in March, that's what Trump said. You know, in 10 minutes, there will be free testing for everyone at the Walmart. You know, I've got the guy from Walmart here, and he says...
Never mind, just shine light on the inside of your body.
Yeah, totally. Just like...
Drink Lysol.
Where the aliens just decide to eat lunch, and they just shine flashlights in their mouths.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Just gargle with Lysol. I'm taking an unproven medication that triggers heart attacks.
Yeah.
You should too.
Turns out plants don't get it. Just behave like a plant.
Yeah. So, I mean, but just this waking up first thing in the morning, while I was coming back from my bike ride, and, you know, you can dine in a restaurant here. You can go to the pool. The question is, like, should you go to the pool, you know? But then at the same time, given that, you know, there doesn't seem to be... If the Wildflower Center didn't alert us to this guy having testing positive for COVID-19, we would never know, you know? So anyway, it's just bananas. I'm just like... it feels terrible. And we're supposed to... we would be, I guess, a week from now on the road back to Los Angeles today, actually. We'll have to make arrangements for how the talking show gets done next week.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It might be the first week we've ever missed in our 9-year history doing the show.
Well, and I guess we could call it extenuating circumstances.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a stretch, but...
I wasn't able, I was talking to my partner, and I was like, you know, this is a good day for us to drive. However, there is the issue of doing the talking show live, and I am concerned. And, but anyway, we were supposed to be driving back, and, you know, I imagine that we will be fine. You know, whatever, we're asymptomatic, if anything. But I, what if we have COVID-19 and we can't leave? You know, what if we're stuck here for real? You know, like, what if we have to spend another 2 weeks here because we're not allowed to go anywhere else? And it's just infuriating. It's truly mind breaking. So, you know, we're trying to move home to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just at these very last moments, and we're doing stupid things. Like we did go to the pool, but we would have caught it from, you know, essentially just hanging out alone in a, you know, in a very sort of socially distanced kind of way.
Well, I mean, you don't want to make the contact tracing easy now, do you, Steve?
No, I suppose not.
Because yeah, so if you'd only done the art opening, that's like 10 people. But yeah, the pool, give them a run for their money.
You're really making me feel great about my choices.
I mean, you shouldn't feel guilty. It's LA is pretty much reopened too. People right. are out and about. I've been staying away from social media the last week or so. So I can't speak to who's been out and about. We saw Ella's parents last weekend. You know, sat across the yard and that kind of thing, which was far more meaningful than I expected. I was poo-pooing all those social distance hangouts before, but
yeah,
I encourage them now. You know, seeing a person and seeing their mouth move and then hearing the sound come out, you know, pretty much at the same time, that's part of human experience, I think, that we've been sorely lacking the last few months.
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed this little art opening. Felt so good.
I got an email from a fancy clothing store, say APC or something, this morning, that said that their New York store, their San Francisco store remain closed, but their LA store is now open.
Wow.
That was peculiar to me, that, you know, like these two other major American cities that they decided to remain closed, but back open in Silver Lake, you know. And Elle and I started ordering food from restaurants, and we called, I think it was someplace in Highland Park, and they were confused because they kept trying to take a reservation. We kept saying, no, we want the food brought to us, and we don't want any contact with anybody, you know, like we're aristocrats or something. And they were just like, that's crazy, we're open, come on in. We're like, we're not coming in. Haven't you heard the news?
I mean, there are skyrocketing cases in Texas, which is also in Arizona for that matter, actually, too.
Yeah, I don't think Arizona took it serious at any point.
You know, but there's hardly any people in Arizona. You know, it's one of those things where...
I think the legislation and the legislators in Arizona thought, well, this is just like daylight savings, and we know where that got us, you know.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
don't mess with that.
But you know what's amazing is the giant sort of Navajo reservation that's like a big chunk out of Arizona does do daylight savings.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that rules.
Mm-hmm.
A bright spot in news about the Navajo Nation, who are otherwise also being ravaged by COVID-19.
I know, I did read that. It's been pretty difficult there.
No medical resources because it's an Indian reservation. Yeah. Oh, so that was, I had to confess my, I don't know, my, get that off my chest, my comeuppance for doing all this gathering in public.
Well, I think you and Meredith are very social and adventurous people, and I think you've done a good job at
staying in.
And I know as things loosen, it's harder to stay in, and at some point it will seem crazy to stay in.
Yeah.
I don't know, everyone just has to negotiate that for themselves.
I kind of wonder if people won't I mean, other than maybe employers or something like that, right? Who will make demands, who will be like,
right,
you must return. But since we enjoy like relatively slack working environments, you and I, you know, that won't really be an issue. We are among the people who can best work from home,
yeah,
no matter what. But I feel like people will be more, until there's a vaccine, let's say, I think people will be far more tolerant of people just deciding to not do stuff. I think people will be like, nope, you know, I've got a sick uncle that I visit that I want to, you know, that I know I'll be seeing in 2 weeks, so I can't go out for the next 2 weeks or something like that. Like, I have a feeling that, you know, we say things are loosening up now, but I think a result of that loosening up is that, as I'm discovering, you know, you get these, there'll be bumps or scares along the way.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like close calls.
And that'll snap you back, you know? And mm-hmm. So at this point, now I'm sort of like, oh, you know, actually facing the possibility of not coming back to Los Angeles when I thought I would be. You know?
Yeah.
And being like, oh shit, well, you know, I should take now my previously carefree ways are.
I mean, it seems like the natural way of any living thing to test those boundaries.
Yeah.
I know we've been home all the time, we let Chiquita out all day. I mean, she can go out whenever she wants, but she can't open the door herself. So, it's been easier since we've been here, and she goes out early in the morning and sleeps under my truck all day long. I guess that's far more desirable than sleeping inside. And you she's know. Recently started sleeping up inside the bowels of the truck.
Oh, that's cute.
It's cute, but also unnerving for me because I don't drive very often these days. But when I do, I'm always like kind of knocking around under there like, Chiquita,
are you in there?
Yeah, I don't want to like... you to wake up at my destination.
but
the other day I opened the car door and turned the truck on, and she was under there, and she came darting out, and she hasn't gone up there in a little while now.
You know, not to sound too alarming a note, but my family cat, when I was growing up, when I was a kid, we got him secondhand. We weren't his first owners, but his first owners, he had also, I guess, acquired a habit of sleeping inside the bowels of the car when he was a kitten.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm not sure what's in it for Chiquita living in Los Angeles, but I know that for him living in Toronto, it's probably nice and warm.
Yeah. And mice live in there. I know that mice like it a lot. So added bonus.
Yeah. So he was messing around inside the car, and no one knew to look for him in there because, you know, who knew where he was, you know, and he was a very small kitten, and he was in the car when it was started up, and the, fan cut off the tip of his ear.
Oh.
And they stopped the car, you know, they heard weird sound, stopped the car, and he was covered in blood. But it wasn't a very serious injury, you know, like he was it was an extremely cosmetic wound, although permanent scarring. And then he quickly became an extremely fat cat and became, absolutely incapable of hiding inside small spaces in by any stretch. So, but he, yeah, that's how he lost the tip of his ear. And so, you know, Chiquita, be warned.
I know. I tried to explain it to her, but...
You can lose a bit.
She didn't listen.
She could be missing a part. You know, and Chiquita's very small, too, so...
I know. Well...
Yeah.
I try to do my due diligence now when leaving in the truck, but...
That's cute that you have, like, a routine...
Yeah, it was just kind of like shaking it and yelling Chiquita. The neighbors probably, who knows what they think. Chiquita!
making love to his truck again.
There he is, his own private streetcar named Desire.
Yeah. You know what you should develop next is sort of like something that's like a OCD style tic, where you do a series of like a complicated pattern of knocking and bumping on the car. You know, so you go up and sort of rap along different parts of it, right, with your knuckles or whatever.
Right.
And they're like, oh, that's the sound of that guy down the street, you know, getting into his truck. He has to touch it like 48 times, like, and then, like, then you get in the car.
And don't interrupt him, because then he has to start over.
Yeah, exactly. He goes all the way back to the beginning. It's like, one day I saw him get interrupted several times and he didn't leave for an hour. Yeah. Jeez Louise. Well, I hope that you never have to get a coronavirus test. It is extremely unpleasant.
That's good to hear. Because I didn't want to get one before, but now I definitely don't.
You know, I made my own counter argument in that, like, if I go back and they do the other nostril, it will be like just a really powerful neti pot.
Yeah, no sinus issues for years.
Yeah, just clean me right out.
Right.
And on another related note to that too, I feel like it's kind of, if the test comes back negative, I think that will be really, well, feel really good about that, you know, even though the tests also have a very large margin of error.
Yeah, didn't they say a papaya tested positive?
Are you serious?
I think I read that somewhere. Yeah. Like what do you call it in testing when you do something
that a control,
you know, it should turn out one way, and it tested positive, and they're like, huh, well, let's scrap this one.
Oh, wow. That's great.
But that's also good news. If yours comes back positive, you can be like, well, the papaya clearly didn't have it, so let's try this again.
Little do they know, I too am a papaya. I mean, the crazy part about that is that, like, we know so little about it that possibly it does infect papayas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they found out cats can get it, for example.
Yeah, I did hear that. Yeah.
And then they just stopped talking about it, actually, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I was wondering, speaking of papayas, do you know the camera that is referred to colloquially as the Texas Leica?
No, what is it?
It's like a Fuji camera, I think from the 80s, maybe 6x4 film or something. I don't know. I was shown it today, and it looks like a marvelous machine. I was hoping that you'd heard of it and were using it while in your sojourn in Texas.
Oh, is this like a Fujika
837W, something like that? I don't know. But anyhow, it looks like a great camera, and they're very cheap on eBay.
I have used one.
Okay.
They had them at CalArts.
How are they?
Heavy.
Yeah. They don't call it the Texas Leica for nothing.
No, they're kind of unpleasant to handle.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Because they are so heavy. But they're cool. They're very sharp. Yeah, I have a related rare similar camera, a Plaubel Makina.
Oh yeah.
And
that's in a famous Chris Williams picture, right?
It is. I like it very much. Although they are insanely expensive, and I hardly get to use it, you know, because I'm a coward. I don't know.
Is it even possible to use handheld?
Yeah, it is. And because it's, although, like, I would imagine the Fujika is actually quite hard to use handheld.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because it's like the one of the Chris Williams, the Plaubel, you feel compelled to try and one hand it, whereas you automatically two hand the Fujika. So, you know, maybe that's actually more stable. I love a medium format camera. But I wish that those Fujikas were a little easier to schlep around. What's funny about them is they look ginormous. They look like an SLR that's been like exploded.
I know. The pictures and of that's really people funny. Holding them are pretty funny.
Yeah. Why do you ask?
Just curious. I casually considering getting into like getting a film camera. No real ambitions, but just poking around.
Something to do. Yeah. You know what is
good suburban hobby.
Totally. You know what is a great unit to get into? Is Nikon F series cameras.
Is that S as in Sam lens, or
F? F as in Fred.
Okay.
The lenses are still operable with current Nikon gear. All the best lenses of photo, you know, every single upsetting picture of the killing fields in Cambodia or all that stuff, all taken on these cameras that are like the sort of default war correspondent 35mm camera. So they're like extremely rugged. There's jillions of lenses. The lenses are all the best lenses of the 80s, you know, are now all, you know, under $100.
Mm.
And some of those adapt really well to other camera systems, you know, so it's like, it's a thing that allows you to get a bunch of useful stuff.
Right.
But then it is an extremely, good 35mm, platform to operate from.
If you find negative. Like an affordable Leica body, the lenses are still astronomical, right?
Yeah. The lenses are really where the sauce is at.
Yeah.
And specifically like fancy primes, whereas like, you know, Nikon, F mount lenses were, really expensive at the time, you know, like the good ones were really expensive at the time, but they sold thousands and thousands and thousands of them. So now that, you know, now that there's like a digital version with inbuilt stabilization that works with the contemporary Nikon platforms, these older lenses that are fully manual are all really, really cheap. Hey man, and the camera bodies themselves can be found for like under $100 as well sometimes. That would be my fast recommendation. Here on Camera Hour, on the talking show, or spend $4,000 and get a Plebo Makina.
Right, I don't think rules. I'm going to do that. Part of the interest was I got an email about the annual online Leica auction. Which is just like rare Leicas, and I was just looking through it for fun, and they had some ones that made me think of you. Like there was one that was like a custom made Leica for like the 52nd birthday of like one of the ruler, like a ruler in the Middle East. It was gold plated,
right?
And it had like, yeah, you know, engraved his name and like the location and date of the birthday party.
Oh, that's great. Like the Shah of Iran or something.
Yeah, it was something like that, you know, on the occasion of his 50-something birthday. Everyone got one of those Leicas, and it was enormously expensive. I mean, a lot of the stuff was expensive, of course. But,
right. That rules.
Yeah. Yeah. And then a lot of, like, you know, kind of war porn cameras. Like, this one was actually used in
right,
this or that violent situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a thing. You know, there's people there all over grabbing all that visceral light, you know, from the olden days.
Mm-hmm.
But before you just counted on everyone universally having a camera and sending the footage in to you for, and you just sort of skim it off. Everyone's the paparazzi now.
It's true.
But yeah, no, I. Leica auctions. I mean, they are, you know, would you be using this camera for studio use, or are you going to
No, like streets? Family photos probably.
Oh, but like durable physical family photos.
I have no idea. It's just a passing fascination probably.
You know what else is really good is the point and shoot. It's a little point and shoot camera that both Evan and Ian James Yashica. And it's small. They're a little expensive because they have like sort of a, I think like a champagne colored magnesium body.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. So they're hot looking. They're pretty automatic, but I think also manualable, and great lenses. Fantastic. Probably still kind of expensive, but cheap, you know, in the scheme of things.
Right.
Yeah, previously really expensive, now an expensive used point and shoot. I would say that's a fun thing to have around. Cause like some, you know, being like, I will get out my Texas Leica now and take, take this, candid snapshot, you know, and like, oh, you know, what's amazing is, the mirror in it sounds like a gun.
In the Texas Leica?
Cause it's so huge and it has to like spring up and spring down. So it's like,
ka-choo.
So it does sound incredible. It's like, my name is a killing word or something, you know, it's just like, I have captured the image. Image captured.
You've been shot.
Yeah. Literally, I'm going to go shooting now. Yeah. Anyway, so that part is funny, but it's hard to be casual with something like that. You know, people jump.
As they should.
Scary. Yeah. Maybe that's why it's called the Texas Leica.
Yeah, reach for the stars.
Because it sounds like a gun. Come and take it. By take it, I mean a picture. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, we've drifted far from police violence, protests,
coronavirus.
So perhaps we should let the good people go to sleep.
Yeah, man. They don't need to hear about cameras. They already know all about cameras.
Yeah.
Our audience is very camera aware in our last audience survey that we did.
It's true.
In fact, most of our dedicated listeners actually just work at Sammy's. So, you know, nothing new to them. They know all this stuff.
And Sammy's will be reopening in just a few weeks. So,
are you sure?
No, I'm not.
You get the email? they are closely monitoring. They are monitoring the situation.
Yep.
All right. Well, good night, Nicholas.
Good morning, Chinatown.